if a person looks in the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, everybody knows famously how does Pirkei Avos start? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, b'chulei b'chulei, gave it over to the Yeshua, Yeshua to the Kenim, b'chulei b'chulei. That's how Pirkei Avos starts. Now it's interesting, a question that I'm sure everybody asked themselves when they looked at this Mishnah: what on earth does this have a shaychus to Pirkei Avos? I would have thought, l'chayra, that this idea should have been an idea that was given over at the first Mishnah that a person opens up in the Mishnayos. For example, you open up the first Mishnah in Brachos, no, first Mishnayos, and over there we should get some kind of background. Where did this Mishnayos come from? You know, all these Mishnayos, beautiful Mishnayos. Where did the Makar? Who said it? Where did it come from? Oh, then the Torah should tell me, the Mishnah should say that Moshe got the Torah from Har Sinai, who then gave it over to Yeshua, Yeshua, b'chule, b'chule, b'chule. What's it got to do with Pirkei Avos? What's it doing in Pirkei Avos? It's a Gevaldige Kasha. It's a Gevaldige Kasha that I'm sure many people ask when they open up Pirkei Avos. The answer is brought down in the Bar Tanura. It's a Moyudika answer, Rabbi said. This answer is it's a Gevaldige Yisoid. And this is a Yisoid that I wanted to speak about tonight, which Be'ez Hashem is the first she'er of this man, that I wanted to hopefully carry us through all the way till the Be'ez Hashem, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Says the Bar Tanura, a Gevaldige Teretz. What is it doing in the beginning of Pirkei Avos? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. He answers as follows. And he answers that people think a tremendous mistake. And that mistake is, you know, Midas, Derech Eretz, all these sorts of things. These are like nice things to do. You know, yeah, Midas Hasidus, it's a Chash of a Chumrah, there's Minhagim, there's all sorts of Masas Svarim. You know, it's nice. It's lovely to have good Midas, it's lovely to have Derech Eretz. But like, it's not like, you know, Boira on Shabbos. It's not like, you know, killing someone. It's not like there's Halachas. It's like a nice thing to do. Comes along the Bar Tanura and says, Pirkei Avos is, right, the Gemara tells us Mufush, that Pirkei Avos is, right, if a person wants to improve his Midos, what does he do? He learns Avos, which is dafka why we learn Avos after Pesach, until Shavuos, Pirkei Avos, because that's this man that a person must suck in his Midos, b'chule, b'chule. But on components of the Bar Tanura, the Torah is telling you, just like the Halachas of Shabbat, the Halachas of Kashrus, the Halachas of everything that we have in Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So you should know that Midas Tovus, Derech Eretz, and everything that goes along with that was also given at Har Sinai. And the same way, a person will never go along and say, you know, Shabbos, it's very nice, but it's not for me. Kashrus, it's very nice, it's not for me. That's for sure. It's a chalik of Torah Kedosha. It's a chalik of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us at Har Sinai. And therefore, Zug the Bar Tanura, that's exactly why the Mishnah begins and says, by the Pirkei Avos, which is the Yesoid, is the Masechta of Derech Eretz, you should know that these halachas were given at Har Sinai, just like the halachas of Shabbos, just like the halachas of Kashrus and everything else. And it's the Yisrael Rabbi said that for us to remember, this is the halacha that I want to speak about today, which is the halacha of V'hatar Reicha Kamoicha, which is what Rabbi Kiva told us, that Klal Godol Batoicha, a tremendous, tremendous Yisrael. You know, there was a famous Maisa with the Manchester Rosh Hashiva itself. The Manchester Rosh Hashiva, so one time he was in a place somewhere up north, whatever it was, he knew it was a place maybe in the holidays, whatever time, and they had the minion. They had 9 people, including him, the minion. So they went to the Manchester Rosh Hashiva's hotel, and they said, you know, everybody knows that the Maral once made a goyim. Right? Everybody knows the famous goyim that he created. So they went to the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, and they said, look, I know a good idea. Why don't you create a golem? This way we'll be able to have the 10th man. We'll be able to have a minion. Gevaldige dag. She said like this. Subda Manchester Shiva, Gevaldige answer. He said, anybody can make a golem. That's not a big deal. But to turn a golem into a mensch, that's a big deal. And Rabbi said, we have to realize every single person, ki'ilu, so to speak, on different levels, was born as a golem. Ki'ilu, nothing there. And it's up to us to work on our midos. It's up to us to work on our character in order to perfect it, to become the best person that's possible. The Vilna Gaon writes a tremendous thing. And he writes that there is one purpose that a person was sent down into this world. One purpose. Tikkun HaMidos. That's it. Azush Tikkun Goy. That the only reason why your neshama was sent down into this world was to massacre your midos. And that was the reason, and that is the mission that you have. And you can spend a lifetime on it, right? The famous Rabbi Sol Salanta, that Rabbi Sol Salanta said it might be easier for a person to finish Shas than to actually change one midah. It's difficult. Avalu is difficult. But if we don't work on it, if we don't try, then in Echadami we'll never get anywhere. So Lamaisa, we have to realize that these inyonim, people think it's like a Musa Shmuz. Nobody said, no, this is a halacha shir. This is a halacha Lamaisa. And there's halachas about this. This is what the Batanura told us. Moshe Kibbutz Torah from Sinai, just like Hilchos Boira, just like Hilchos Basa B'Cholam, everything came from Sinai. These halachas of the Batanura also came from Sinai, and we have to respect that. Right? I saw the most scariest thing. I mean, this is mind-boggling, Rabbi Sai. The Chassam Sofer. This is the Heilige Chassam Sofer. You know what he writes? He writes, Avada Navada, everybody learns Musa every single day without a Shaila. Who can go a day without Musa? Zog the Chassam Sofer. And he said this on himself, the Heilige Chassam Sofer. If I go one day without Musa, one day, I feel a Shvachkeit in my Yiddishkeit for a few weeks. That's what the Chassam Sofer said about himself. Right, so again, we're not learning Musa here, but we're going to try to go through a few Yisoidus of Ben Adam L'Chaveiroi. It's this man from Pesach to Shavuos, which is this man that we try to work on our character, our Midos, our Midos Tovis, and everything that goes together with that. The halacha that I wanted to speak about, we've got a few good stories as well, is the halacha of V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha, right? The pasuk, we had it last week in the parasha, in Vayikra Perek Yites, pasuk Yutches, where the pasuk tells us V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha. Now, what does that mean? Right, again, Rabbi says, pasuk in the Torah, right? It's brought in Chinuch, it's brought in Rambam, it's brought in Shulchan, it's something that we have to know, the halacha. What does it mean, I have to love somebody else like me? What does that mean? So the Rambam, for example, in Hilchos Deis, the Chinuch also, Mitzvah Reish Mem Gimel, that tells us the Yesod is that we have to love every person in Klal Yisrael and look out for their toit. We have to look out for everybody else. Now there's a Yesod over here. The Yesod is we have to realize and we have to work on this feeling that Klal Yisrael is one unit. It's one guf. It's one body. And just like, for example, right, the Moshel, you have two hands, Baruch Hashem, right? And you put a silver watch on one of them. Do you think the other hand has a complaint? He says, ah, chutzpah! Don't worry, you're putting the silver watch on his hand and not my hand. No, it's all one guf. It's all one chenig, it's all one unit. The yesod, the underlying principle of v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha means kamoicha, that you have to love him like you. And we're going to have to learn what that means, because it's a very broad statement. It's something that, it begs for a very much deeper understanding of exactly what's going on. In fact, there's a Moshe Gemara Shah, we haven't got this into the Shilas right now, there's a Shuvah Nigus Moshe as well, that talks about the Shilas, how can I daven for somebody else? How can I want someone else's good? Right? Hakol v'dei Shamayim, chutz v'yir Shamayim. So what, I'm going to start davening that he does better in his learning, this, that and the other. That's not up to me, that's up to him basically. But Al Kapanim, there's answers for that we're not mamish going into. But Al Kapanim, the Yisod is like this. Rabbi Kiva told us clearly that the Klal Gadol in Torah is V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha. That is the Klal. The Klal Gadol in Torah, as they state Rabbi Kiva, right? Which means that this is a serious thing. We're not dealing with like a side point, a nice halacha, a nice chumrah. We're dealing with something that Rabbi Kiva told us is the Klal Gadol in Torah. That if a person wants to know what is Torah, that's it, V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha. Now comes along Hillel, and Hillel HaZaken tells us what's the key. What is the key to V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamoicha? How do you do it? Practically speaking, how do I mekayim this mitzvah? It's a gavaldik mitzvah, right? And there's averus on the other side as well, on the opposite side of the spectrum. But I'll call it's a mitzvah to do it. How do you do it? How do you mekayim this mitzvah? Comes along Hillel and tells us that there's different versions of the Sefta. I'm not going into all the different versions. But on Kapodim, the Yisayis of Hillel HaZaken is as follows. Right? The Olog Sani Lechaberucho Loi Sabit. Which means, if you don't like something, to be done to you, don't do it to somebody else. And that is the yesod that we have to remember. And it's a tremendous, tremendous yesod. So many times, we can go through the day, and something will happen to us. Right? People, bachrim, roommates, whatever it is. And we don't like it. But when it comes to somebody else, we'll do the same thing. Right? I'll give you a small example, right? Something not negaya. Start an example. Yalla chavrusa, right? You are makbid, I want to start on time. You told him at the beginning of this month, no, we're starting every single day, we're going to start Be'ez Hashem on time. He says, sure, no problem. Second day, he walks in late. A half an hour late. Oh, you're bubbling already. You're like, oh, you couldn't have told me. And next day, hey, you were sick, whatever it is, you had a bit of a flu. Did you call your chavrusa? Right? I'll give an extreme example of this. This is a Maisa Shahoya. A fellow made an appointment with Hagoyim Hagodl of Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. He made an appointment 4 o'clock. He was coming from Bnei Brak. He made an appointment 4 o'clock in the evening to see Hagoyim Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal. Appointment? Nope. Shlomo Zalman said, no problem, I'll be there at 4 o'clock. Please be on time. Okay. Nope. He gets there 4:05. Knocks on the door. His wife answers. He's gone. He left. Half a minute ago he left. 4:05 he walked out. So he was a little bit upset, you know. I came all the way from the neighborhood in a bus and I had a meeting and officially 4 o'clock was the time. But I guess he called back with Shlomo Zalman later on in the evening to reschedule an appointment. And I guess he sort of said, obviously in a common to go open in a respectful manner, like, you know, what happened to the Rav, you know, we had an appointment at 4 o'clock. So Shlomo Zalman asked him, which bus did you get from Bnei Brak? So I got the 3 o'clock bus. It normally takes the Erech 50 minutes. So I figured that it takes 10 minutes to walk to your house. I get there at 10 to 4. I walk to your house. I go to 4 o'clock in the appointment. We got stuck in traffic. I got 5 minutes late. Sorry, what was I meant to do? So Shlomo Zalman said to him, why didn't you take the quarter to 3 bus? 15 minutes earlier. This would have got. He said, yeah, but then I'd have to wait around. So Shlomo Zalman said to him, I don't know exactly the lotion that he used, but something along the lines. Ah, so you didn't want to wait outside my house. But when you were late, it didn't bother you that I could wait. And isn't that fair? Right? So it's an extreme example. But we have to realize, right? I'll tell you another, and there's many, many examples of this. I don't want to go on too much about example. This is, I don't know if this is a Maisa Shahoya. I hope it's not a Maisa Shahoya. But there was a Maisa with a certain young married fellow that his father had to live in the house. For whatever reason, his wife was nifta, gets here to live in the house. That the father of this fellow was a tremendously sloppy, messy man. That the son already was a very experienced and wealthy businessman. And, you know, seeing business meetings, he was a very posh fellow, was with a suit and his tie. And his father was just a mess. But, you know, father's father, kibbutz, he's kibbutz. And he kept it for years and years, but it got worse and worse. Never, his father, mumish, it was obviously an illness. And everything that he touched got a mess. The couch got a mess, and the bed got a mess, and the carpet got a mess. And everything, it was going to shiver. After a few years, the son said, that's it! I can't take it anymore. He takes the money, he gives it to his father, he says, get out of my house. He chucks him into the street. Go to it, that's it. A couple of weeks later, this fellow, right, the owner of the house, his son is walking on the street, and he sees his Ida. He sees his grandfather sitting on a bench. It was winter, and he's freezing. So he runs back into the house and says to his father, he said, yeah, you know, I just saw grandpa, and it's freezing cold, it's winter. He's sitting outside, yeah, maybe I have an old coat. We'll give him an old coat, maybe give him something. So father thinks for a minute, says, oh, you know what, I think in the attic I have like an old coat. I can give it to him if you want, no problem. Nope, let's take them. So he comes out, takes the coat, and the father sees that the son has taken his coat, and he's got a pair of scissors in his hand, and he's cutting the coat into half. He says, what are you doing? He says, very simple. I'm keeping the other half so that when you get old, I can give you the other half. That's what he says. Right? Now, it's an unbelievable thing. I hope it wasn't a true story. But our kaponim, it's the yesod that we have to remember. How many times do we go through the day, do we go through the week, on situations that if something would happen to us, we'd be upset? Right? Imagine you walk into a bachur's room. You walk into one of the choshuva members of the yeshiva. And you walk into his room. You know how it is sometimes, right? When someone walks into the room that you don't like, so everything goes quiet. Whatever you're discussing just like stops, right? And he comes near, everyone's like quiet, right? Do you like that? Imagine you walked into the room. Would you like that? No. What would you like? You'd like everyone to be happy to see you and whatever it may be. So you have to start experiencing and start practicing that you have to think of somebody else. What would I do? Right? Imagine like this. Imagine you walk in to a room, right? And everybody, you walk in a couple of minutes late. Everybody's got their seats. There's no more chairs. So you sort of feel like an idiot, right? Like, oh, where am I going to sit now, right? Now, what would you like to do if someone happened to you? Now, you're the one sitting in the chair, so it's all very nice for you. And it happens to be, by the way, in those situations, normally, nobody notices him. It's like that thing that everybody's like really busy and like nobody notices him. What would it be if you walked into that room? What would you like? You would like someone straight away, oh, come on, I'll make space over here, we'll find another chair. That's what you would like. So if you like that done to you, why don't you do that to somebody else? This is the Yesoid. This is what Rabbi Kiva, what Hillel Zaken is teaching us. And if you look at the Lashon of Rabbi Kiva, it's absolutely unbelievable. He says, Zeu kol ha-Torah kula, the Idach Pirusha, which means, this Yesoid that we just mentioned now, of thinking what somebody else is going through, and what you would like to be done to you, do to somebody else, and what you don't like done to you, don't do to somebody else, is the entire Torah. Every other word you find in Torah, Zuki Lazokin, is an explanation of that. It's unbelievable. That means once you have this key, once you have this yesoit of don't do to somebody else what you don't want done to yourself, then you have everything in your pocket. And it's something that we have to realize, it's something that we have to work on. It's a yesoit. I'll give you a modika myself, Rav Desla. Rav Desla's Zatzal, Valdige Yid, Mamish, unbelievable. Listen to this Meister, it's not such a well-known Meister. So he lived for many, many years during the war in Gateshead. His wife was in Australia at the time. After the war, she came to join him in Gateshead, and eventually they moved to Eretz Yisrael, to Bnei Barak, where he became the Mashiach of Ponovitch Yeshiva. So they lived together in Ponovitch after many years of being in Gateshead. They lived in Ponovitch and Bnei Barak. Oh. Many years after that, his Rebbetzin was Nifta. His Rebbetzin was Nifta. So, when his Rebbe was Nifta, somebody got a bocha from the yeshiva, from, you know, Shkia, came into the house in order to help him out. You know, to lay the table, things that he needed in the kitchen, clean up a bit, whatever it may be. The Maisa, so he put to the Becha, right? Every single Shabbos, he remembers that the Rebbe will put the Becha on the table. And he came to the Becha. The Becha said to him, no. Put that one back. Use the bigger one. Weird, modern Zach. He knows he's been eating in the Mashkiach house for many, many times, and he's always seen me use this Becha. All of a sudden, this week, the Rebbe was there using it. The Becha, like, what's the Shaykh? He didn't say anything. Shabbos afternoon, he got a chance to speak to a Tesla. And Rebbe said, this is really teaches a character. This teaches of someone that actually worked on his midas in an unbelievable way. He said, what's the pshat that the Mashkiach changed the Becha? He says, I'll tell you like this. He said, that Becha is a very, very holy Becha. In fact, that Becha was actually a gift from my uncle, which was Rav Chaim Oizer, who was the Rav of Vilna, and he got it from me with his soul Salanta. So can you imagine, this Becha went from Rav Sol Salanta, Rav Chaim Oizer, and then to Rav Desla. So he said, it's a very holy Becha. So we came into Eretz Yisrael, to Bnei Barak, and we used this Becha, right? Put it on the table the first Shabbos that we were here. And then I thought to myself, hold on a minute. This is the Mokim of the Chazon Ish. But Chazon Ish lived here, he was king of the Merdasa, and he held that obviously wasn't a big enough share for the share of Kiddush, of Yayin, whatever it is. So he said, maybe we should get a bigger one, you know, covered of the Chazon Ish. So his wife turns to him and says like this, right? First week that they got to Bnei Barak, she said, listen, if it was good enough for Sol Salant, and it was good enough for Chaim Oizer, it's good enough for us also. And he didn't say anything, and he kept it. He said, this week she's not here. She's not here. And because she's not here, so now I can use the covered of the Chazon Ish, I can use the bigger share. That means, for all the years, it's unbelievable, for all the years they were living there, right, he did something that maybe he didn't want to do. I'm not getting into the reason why he didn't, how he didn't, Allah, no, that's not our subject right now. But why? For somebody else. Right, Rebelsky Shlita, should live and be well. Rebelsky, place in America, anybody that knows the name. So Rebelsky, not so long ago, was actually quite ill. Quite ill, he needed tremendous surgery. And it was a time where it was just before the surgery was about to happen. Right, it was a very, very, very complicated surgery. It was in one of the hospitals in New York, and his family members were trying to persuade him to move to a different hospital to have more choshuva doctors, choshuva care, whatever it may be. Now, Rebelsky Shlita at the time could barely speak. He was very, very weak. He was about to be wheeled into the operating theater. And they asked him, you know, maybe let's decide right now, we'll go to one of the top hospitals that there are, and we'll move you into that one, and hopefully, you know, maybe they'll be able to do whatever they can do in a better oifen. Kitzah, he couldn't get any words out at the time. He was tremendously weak and under tremendous whatever was going on at the time. And he said, no, b'shum oifenisht. He refused to let them move. And they tried to understand, like, what do you care? So he explained it however he could understand, however they could convey the message, that if we leave now, then it shows that we weren't happy with what they did, and they might feel bad. Now, here's Hashem Aram, one of the biggest Rabbonim in New York, right, in America even, and he's moving hospitals to a better one. Ah, so you're not so good in this hospital. He, at that stage, right, had the peace of mind to realize and think of somebody else. How does the Maisa continue? The Maisa continues that 5 minutes later, he was wheeled into the operating theater for no reason whatsoever. His heart stopped beating. But because he was in the operating theater and the doctors and the surgeons were standing right there, mamash, siyata d'shmaya, is unbelievable. They were able to operate and they were able to do, Baruch Hashem, what they did, and he's now living, Baruch Hashem, well and healthy, and should continue to live for many, many more years. But it's in a gewaltige sach, because his family, and I think his wife said it as well. What was the pshat? Because he's so involved in thinking about somebody else. We're so involved in thinking about ourselves and how we can be this or how we can do this and how if we can't do this, what happens? We have to learn to think about somebody else. And that is a tremendous yisoid. It's a sensitivity that we have to gain for other people as well. I want to finish with a couple of maises also that underline this wonderful thought as well. You might have heard this maise before. Maybe I said it last year, but I think it's such a gewaltige maise. 1967. Six-day war, right? Meir Yeshiva was under attack. The whole Yerushalayim is tremendous, right? The Meir Yeshiva was right close by to the town. It was Mamash, a tremendous pachat. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous pachat. Al Kaponim, they had a bomb room. The siren went off. All the bachim piled into the bomb room. And at one moment, right, it was silence. But at one moment, they could feel that a bomb had actually exploded. Right, a missile had actually reached the Meir Yeshiva. The whole place shook, and they waited in absolute silence for what they thought would be a collapse of the entire building, and who knows what would happen to them at that stage. But it never happened. It never happened. And Baruch Hashem, they were saved. It was a direct hit to the Meir Yeshiva, but they were all saved. The Rosh Yeshiva got up. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz got up. He got up afterwards when it was all over and everything was quiet and peaceful, and he said a shmooze to the bachrim, and he said, at that moment when the whole building could have collapsed, the whole Meir Yeshiva with everyone inside it could have been who knows what, at that moment everyone thought, why? What was the reason for the Savior? And everybody started thinking, it's my Torah. And this one was thinking, maybe it's my Tehillim. And this one's thinking, it's because of this. And this one comes with that. It's a Gevaldige Gezag. Zuk Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, absolutely not. That didn't save the Meir Yeshiva. What was it that saved the Meir Yeshiva? Zuk Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a Gevaldige Gezag. There was a woman there. And a woman whose husband had left her 15 years ago. She was an Aguna. She couldn't go anywhere. She couldn't marry anybody. She was completely in limbo. She was stuck. Nothing to do. Her husband had run off. She was stuck. 15 years! Can you imagine the tsar? Can you imagine the pain of 15 years, Leilu, of being by yourself, not knowing what you can do, what you can't do, and nobody can help you? Zuk Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, at that moment, when the bomb exploded, when the missile reached the Meir Yeshiva, at that exact moment, I heard this woman whisper something. It's unbelievable. What did he hear her whisper? He heard her whisper, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm willing to give a full forgiveness to my husband for the 15 years of the tsar that he has caused me. I'm willing to forgive him completely. Just save everybody's life. Zuk Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that saved the Meir Yeshiva. That thought of something else, or somebody else, not your own pain, not your own situation, but everybody else around you. But after the reason, come my heart, what would you like people to do with that situation for you? Do it for somebody else. And this is something that a person really has to realize. It's a gewaltige limit as well. We have to mention a couple more things as well. The Ramban, how can we not mention this Ramban? the Ramban in Parashas Nosei, right? Nosei is famous for 176 psukim, right? Longest parasha of the Torah. That creates that Torah is a killer, right? You have to sit there and chew while they go through the entire parasha, right? And you know what the most interesting thing about Parashas Nosei is? There's a repetition of the Korbanos 12 times. Again, you're like, oh, come on! Can't you just say like Bahuloy or something like that? You can't just say like end and like just do it again. Like, again and again and again. And every word of Torah is special. And every single word of Torah is exactly got a reason for it. And a limud. And everything else that comes out of it, thousands of halachas that come out from every single word of the Torah. But that has to be repeated 12 times. Come on! The cheesecake's waiting, it's Shavuos! Everybody's excited! Let's go! The cheesecake is waiting. No. What are you doing? Repeat it 12 times! Zog the Ramban! Analogy Yesoid! Says the Ramban, the Yesoid is like this: to give cover to each of them. Because if you just would have mentioned one by one of the Nesim, you know what would have happened? The others said, hey, why you mention it by me? So we'll mention 12 times. We'll repeat again. The same thing! 12 times of the Torah HaKadosh's words, which are so precious. Zug the Ramban, why? To give, make sure everyone's got equal covet. To make sure that everyone is going to be feeling the same. And that is the Yisoid of the Ramban. This is something we have to realize. If we decide to play loud music in our dorm, if we decide to walk in late into the room, so we have to realize, hold on a second, there's somebody else in the room. Right? He's getting up for Shabbos. I don't know about you. Right, you have that guy, for example, right, who goes to sleep on, I don't know, Friday night. Wait, the next thing he hears after Friday night is, you know what I mean? You have these people. But I'm saying the same though. But what about somebody else? What about thinking of somebody else? And this is something that we really have to work on. It's a Yesoid Kovod Chaverim, right? We know this very much. This is the Yesoid of Rabbi Kiva, Sfiras HaOmer. This is why we can't do half the things that we can't do, right? I remember last year, a brother calls me up. He says to me like this. He says, I need your head to shake. I said, what do you need your head to shake for? I don't know. As far as I know, you're not working or I don't know, whatever it is. He said, what do you mean? It's bothering me. It's really itchy. I said, very good. That's the Yesoid. The Yesoid that these halachas were made is in order to remind the person the time of the year. In order to remind him what's going on, what is it trying to represent. If we're all trying to look for Hetayim to get out of it, so it doesn't represent anything. And we have to realize as well, Rabbi Isai, Shalainogu kovod zel azeh. That was the Yesoid. Tamini Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Isai, these were Ge'oinei Oilo. Shalainogu kovod zel azeh. How did they die? Sukti Gimori, Rabbi Isai, Bobam is here. There are 903 deaths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. 903, as they state in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. 903 deaths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Which is the worst one for the Gemara? Asura. Right? Some kind of choking, whatever else she explains it, whatever it is, it's a really bad type of death. These 24,000 Talmidim that died in this period of time that we're holding now, died the worst possible death that they ever could have died. Rabbi said, these were Ge'oinei Olam. These were Talmidei Chachamim, Ge'oinim, unbelievable people. And yet they died the most tremendous death. What was it that they did so badly? Shall I know who covered Zel or Zel? I'll give you one more mitzvah, Rabbi said, it's late. Rabbi Zalman, a Yid, Rabbi Zalman was learning in his house till late at night. He was learning in his house, it was maybe, I don't know, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Somebody knocks on the door. We need to speak to Mr. Zalman. No, very urgent matter. 1 o'clock in the morning, you knock on his door. Beseda. So he was running his chavusa. It was obviously private. He went into the side room. He discussed something with this fellow, whoever came into after Shaila, and the fellow went out. His chavusa, after a few minutes, he thought maybe Mr. Zalman answered the Shaila and come back. Never came back. But 20 minutes later, he goes to the room where Mr. Zalman answered the Shaila. And he sees with Mr. Zalman, and Mr. Zalman's good. Was unbelievable. Any Shaila was like this. It was easy. Rabbi Zalman was pacing the room, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards, backwards, forwards. He could see his head was mamish spinning, his head, he was trying to figure out what's coming. He says, Chavusa knocks the door lightly, like, Rebbe, maybe, no, don't disturb me, don't disturb me. Gosh, I think this is mamish, what's going on over here? He says, leave him alone. An hour later, it's already 2:15 in the morning, he goes knocking on the doors with Mrs. Zalman. He sees him again, he's already sitting on the head, his chair is already, the head's mamish full of a complete headache, his mamish going crazy. He knocks the door, says, Rebbe, maybe, no, not now, don't disturb, don't disturb. Another half an hour, eventually Mrs. Zalman comes out. Alright, I figured it out. He thought, this must be the most unbelievable. This must be the whole plot. I don't know what's going on. What are the Shaila can this be? You know what it was? It was a Shaila Maisa. Chosen came, it was a Chosen. Recently got engaged. Someone came over to the Chosen after his engagement and told him something about the colour, whether it was medical, whether it was whatever it was, with some kind of idea that maybe you should break the engagement. It's not for you, either because of medically or whatever it is. And the Chosen came to Mr. Zalman, what should I do? Should I break the engagement or not? Now, everybody said, this is a man that answers called Klal Yisrael's problems. He spent an hour and a half in deep thought to figure it out. What is the answer of this Shaila? What's the pshat? Just push it. This is negated to somebody else's right to break a shidduch. You know what that means? You know what it means to somebody else? You know how hurt she's going to feel? It can't be. And he decided afterwards that he shouldn't break the shidduch and everything would be okay. Baruch Hashem, it was afterwards. But the Yisoid Rabbi Yisai, the Yisoid Yisroinogu Kovet Zelazebe Haftol Areicha Kamoicha, don't do to someone else what you wouldn't like. When you see someone walk into the room and everybody starts snickering and everyone starts laughing about what he says as the other, would you like it if someone did that? Would you be upset? Would you be hurt? If yes, don't do it to somebody else. Think twice before you do something to somebody else. Go through life, says Hillel HaZaki, says Chazal. Go through life that called God will betray you. If you go through life thinking, hold on a minute, I want to love him like I love myself. What would I do if it was me walking in? What would I do in this situation or in that situation? If we go through life in that way, Be'ez Hashem Rabbeisai, we'll come to Shavuos, more B'Sholem, we'll work on our character, which will Be'ez Hashem give us a much more successful life. Join us Be'ez Hashem tomorrow night for the next year.